lightning in his hand and steel in his eyes. His trigger finger never hesitates. A lone figure in the dust, quicker than a shadow, deadlier than a storm. He lives by the bullet, where every showdown could be his last, but it never is. His legend is written in gunpowder and blood, every shot echoing through history. In a world where a heartbeat can cost you everything, he's always a step ahead of death. DJ Outlaw.
Good afternoon. It is currently 4:08, and I'm your host, DJ Outlaw, better known as Navy Seaman Jacob Hart. And please join me in welcoming Anna DeLange, the Assistant Marketing for Stars and Stripes Europe, here in the studio this hour. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. The little gloom in the day is, you know, throwing me off just a bit, but I'm excited for the sunny weekend we have.
I can't wait for it. A nice change of weather would be fantastic.
I know. I'm really hoping that the clouds stay away for the weekend and we can just enjoy it again before it goes right back down to the 60s.
I know. I'm so tired of the cold. I can't wait for summer temperatures to get spiking back up. And that's why this next song is perfect. And stay tuned, because we have a bunch of information coming up on tourism and all things Stars and Stripes next. Here is Misery by Maroon 5. Oh yeah. That was Taste by Sabrina Carpenter. And Stars and Stripes has a taste of amazing travel opportunities coming up in their spring magazine. What have you got for us, Anna?
Yeah, so I love pointing out that we have this fun travel magazine that is completely free for, you know, honestly, anyone that looks for this. So it's not even just for service members, but it is such a great tool to use while you're here, because we have so much random recommendations that typically you don't really think of, because some of it is, you know, some of the touristy stuff, but some of it is also just taking in what's around us and, like, not, you know, only going to the famous spots, but also trying other places, because you are here, might as well, you know, get into different historical things or even, like, the famous cities itself.
Well, it's a lot easier once you're living here in Europe to go see these kinds of places rather than trying to fly across the Atlantic to take a trip to Europe.
Oh, of course.
Where you might see one or two things, but yeah, being here so much closer locally, you're going to save several thousand dollars plane tickets, yeah, and everything else. So,
and even if you want to drive. So in our new Stripes Spring Summer Edition, there is actually a fun article about Pompeii, which, if you didn't realize how close Pompeii is, I've known many people that have actually driven from here to Pompeii, which personally I wouldn't do, because I also just don't have the cars here that I would trust to make it that far. But I know some people that brought, you know, their respectable cars, and they have taken it onto mainland, and you could totally drive the 6 hours to get to Pompeii while also, you know, maybe visiting Naples or some other surrounding areas in that part of Italy itself. But we have an article in this next edition for Pompeii. So if you want to explore Pompeii, maybe you want to go to Pompeii, but maybe, you know, you've been considering, you've been here for a little bit while and you want to travel to somewhere else. Maybe you want to travel to, like, Prague.
Okay, what's in Prague?
You know, I think the only thing that I know personally is, like, a castle.
Okay.
I have heard beautiful things about Prague, and I've actually know of quite a few people that are, like, raving about Prague. So maybe when the new edition comes out this weekend, I will be also looking at it for some ideas, because it's also, I think, one of the cheaper places to visit. So Prague is the Czech Republic, if, you know, people are not tracking that. But I've heard such great things about Prague, and the article that we have in our magazine is traveling to Prague with your dog.
I like the rhyme.
Which, you know, hey, some people love traveling with their dog. I know, I think my hairstylist, she has traveled to a couple places on mainland with her big golden doodle.
Okay.
So you can do it.
I mean, I feel like it takes a pretty dedicated dog mother or father to want to be able to travel around.
Oh, it definitely does. And I do know Prague is a little bit farther, so maybe, you know, you want to travel closer with, like, your puppy, you know, some other places, maybe on the island, maybe more southern Italy. But traveling with your dog is totally an option. Honestly, I'm pretty sure we almost have some type of article regarding dog travel, like, in each edition, which is honestly crazy to me, because there are people that are bringing their dogs everywhere, which, I mean,
you see,
if you look around in Europe, dogs are everywhere. This is, like, one of the places you will see a dog everywhere, and no one bats an eye.
I have noticed that you go to the mall and everyone has them. But it seems like they're almost always smaller dogs.
Yeah, I typically don't see a lot of big dogs. Like, how I feel like it's like more of an American thing. Americans love their big dogs, but at least a lot of the Europeans that I've seen, they all love their small dogs. I've never seen more wiener dogs here in my life.
I haven't seen one yet.
You haven't seen one?
No, all I see is Chihuahuas and the, what are they called, Pomeranians?
Oh, yeah, I do see a lot of Pomeranians. I do see a lot of Chihuahuas, too. But I feel like I don't see wiener dogs here, which is maybe why you haven't seen them. But Northern Italy and, like, almost every other city that I've been to, I've seen so many wiener dogs. I don't know why, but they're everywhere. So, I mean, dogs are welcome everywhere. So if you really want to travel, we almost always have an article about somewhere visiting some new place with dogs. But if that's not your thing and you want to, you know, maybe practice some relaxation, in the new article edition, we have something called forest bathing, which is kind of on the rise of popularity. Have you ever heard of forest bathing?
No, but when I think about it, either two things different come to mind. Either you're jumping in the river in the woods, or you're just kind of going in, surrounding yourself with the serene beauty of the trees, everything else, just kind of bringing nature into your life at that moment.
Yeah, so number two.
It's number two?
It's number two.
Okay.
So it is a Japanese practice, and it literally is just going into trees and basically relaxing, meditating. But the practice actually is, like, not to close your eyes. It's just to breathe in the, you know, the fresh air that the trees put off, but also relax, embrace what's going on, look at the tree, kind of like be mindful about, you know, the surroundings, look it around, take in every sense that you can. But it's known to improve your mood and, like, reduce stress, improve your sleep, improve your focus ability. It's something super crazy and is becoming more popular, so I feel like it, you know, there's something to do with it.
Does it ever get to the extremes where it's like they hug the trees?
I'm sure there's like the I'm sure there is. But I will say, looking into forest bathing, you don't need a forest. You just need a tree. So don't think like, oh, I don't have a forest around me. You have a tree. There's trees everywhere. Go stare at one. The weather's going to be beautiful this weekend. Grab a blanket. Sit under the tree. Maybe you're a little stressed. I feel like everyone is. I'm a little stressed. Maybe I'll take a blanket and then just embrace the sunny weather that, you know, we're hoping for this weekend, and just take in some fresh air. Enjoy it.
It's nice to get out, especially after cold, gloomy days today. Nice change in temperature.
It's just, even without the trees, it's so nice when the sun is just beaming at you and it's not like super hot yet, so it's still enjoyable. You're like, oh, I'm alive again.
Get a little bit of that vitamin D after a long winter.
After the gloominess that's just like pushing all of us to sadness. It's totally, totally relatable. But I will say, I love our magazines. Our magazines are great, especially because they're free. And we will be having them, I hope, in the next week and a half, physically here in the commissary and the food court. And, like, in the hospital, if you're on the barracks and you're listening, they'll be in the barracks. They're kind of just around everywhere that I can, where I'm allowed to put them in. But if you don't find anything anywhere else, you're always welcome to go on our website, Stripes Europe, and all of our stuff is always available digitally, online, for free, 24/7.
That's perfect. And because we were talking about Pompeii, this next song just seems so fitting. So here's Pompeii by Bastille. So if you like beer, we've got a special segment for you right now, because we're going into all things Guinness. Yes, Guinness is a global icon with a legendary history. It's a wonderful beer, and it's one of my favorites. You find a tavern that has Guinness on the thing, you know I'm going to be in there. And that's why Stars and Stripes absolutely has my heart for this bit right now.
You know what I just learned going through this article, which I find crazy? So the founder, Arthur Guinness, his the lease contract that he created. I am shocked. Have you ever heard of this lease contract that he created?
I haven't.
He secured a 9,000-year lease in 1759.
How does that work?
I don't know. And I'm a little curious if they kept this part of it, you know, still true and accurate to the day. And even if he still has this 9,000-year-old lease in act, but the rent that they signed up for was £45 a year.
That's it?
I mean, it was 1759.
Well, that's a really good point. That's probably worth a significantly larger amount then.
I just kind of, I'm so confused. But also, like, is the brewery where they created this still in this lease?
And do you think it'll last? Because if it's a 9,000-year lease, that means the lease is up in the year 10,759.
I don't know. I'm a little dumbfounded over that one, which is crazy.
I wouldn't complain if Guinness is around in 9,000 years, but I won't be alive to see it.
No, but I will say, I mean, I feel like even if you don't like dark stouts, which I don't personally, I have found that I do kind of like Guinness.
It's got a very unique flavor.
It is super unique. I'm not the biggest fan of it, but it is unique, and I can drink them if I wanted to. But, I mean, I feel like almost everyone knows of it. It's brewed, ironically, in 50 countries. So, hello. It is everywhere. And it's available in 120. So, you really can't escape this guise of Guinness.
No, they definitely branched out. So, it started in Dublin, which Irish brew, of course. But it's expanded out then.
It's expanded out, and it is going, which, good for them. I'm curious about that 9,000-year-old lease, if it is still around. I'm sure it has to be still around, but I wonder, like, how much is moving out of it, you know? Or if that's, like, where the tours are to this day. That'd be interesting.
And does that include, like, the fields where they grow everything they need?
Probably not.
Or just the brewery?
I don't know. I will say, I have heard that if you go to Ireland, the Guinness that you try there is going to taste a lot different.
Really?
Yes. I have a friend. They went to Dublin last May, and she barely drinks beer. She barely will, you know, pick up a Guinness. She's like, that was phenomenal. She was like, I don't know what it was, but it was great. And they just, like, went to, like, a random pub, I'm pretty sure. They didn't go anywhere specific. Just went to a pub. And they both got a Guinness because they both said, why not? Hmm. She was like, this was so good. And I was like, interesting.
Well, I mean, I was planning on taking a trip to either Scotland or Ireland coming up this summer. And I definitely think I need to stop into one of these.
Yeah, you definitely have to. Because I have heard that it does taste different. But just hearing it from personal conversation that it was phenomenal, I'm like, dang, it really does have to taste so different. If people are like, oh yeah, this is great. And I think, like, everyone knows that everyone is so particular about their Guinness and how it's, like, poured, which I think is so funny to me.
It could be mixed up. You're either you're a beer connoisseur or an alcoholic. One of the two.
I don't know, but I mean, it is something that it is something that's crazy, but that the storehouse and the brewery that is available that you can visit in Dublin is, yeah, I mean, it's technically a tourist trap, but hey, it's interactive. It's something to do while you're in Dublin, and it's not overly expensive, but if you do think you're going to go, pre-book and save yourself, you know, a couple of dollars, because if you book it online, it's under 20. If you pay right then and there, it's 25.
And I would challenge anyone who goes and sees this to actually find out about this lease and come back into the studio and tell me all about it, because
we're curious.
We want to know this. And so stay up, with us because we have some more information coming about some another travel opportunity. And here is Rose Tattoo by the Dropkick Murphys. You know, I'm surprised that that song is not Sicily's national anthem.
Oh my god.
You know why? I swear, I see fireworks constantly when it's not the winter months.
I feel like even in the winter months, I have heard a few fireworks recently, and I'm like, what?
They just pop off.
I mean, it was Carnarvale, but still, they love their fireworks here.
They really do. And it's weird to me because, I mean, back home, of course, we celebrate 4th of July. Yeah. And we have 24th of July, but we weren't allowed the good fireworks, so we'd have to cross borders into Wyoming, where we would buy the good fireworks and come back and celebrate with them. Things like... what are they called? The rockets. We shoot them at each other as kids.
Oh, okay.
Black cats, all the good stuff. And that just makes me so excited for the weather to warm up. And that is why Europe is waking up as the winter fades for some amazing gardens with some beautiful bursts of color coming up. And we've got all sorts of stuff to talk about right now.
Yeah, we have a fun article that we'll be discussing today from StripesEurope.com, of course, and it is about some European gardens that maybe you want to visit during the spring months. Obviously, depending on where you're going to go, it might be a little bit cooler, it might be a little warmer in the next couple of months, and we got you covered with like all the different countries you want to visit. So maybe you're considering Italy, the Netherlands, Germany, even going to London, France. There are so many gardens, honestly, everywhere that are so notable that if maybe you want to check out, if you have some extra time in certain places, I definitely wouldn't travel for a specific garden, but I would definitely add it to the itinerary if I was already in the area and I had, you know, some extra change in my day. Are you guys one of those people that just, when you travel, you have everything planned out, or do you just like to just go with the flow?
It depends on who you ask is the big thing. I don't mind having like one or two kind of key points that we want to go here, see this specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But if something that catches my eye or distracts me along the way that looks cool, I like to do that.
Yeah.
It's a little side quest.
I definitely am. I'm on one of the ends of, I like having specific, I have learned to accommodate for my husband's, I don't want to be running around. So I choose one or two things in a day and I'm like, okay, this is what we're doing. But I will say when I was traveling with my friends, we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do like a week in advance, and they were stressing me out. And one of the things that I almost wanted to do, which we almost did end up doing because we were in the area, we were in France and we had the extra day. You can only do so much stuff in Paris, honestly. And so we went out to Versailles, which, I mean, Versailles in itself is a beautiful garden. And it is one of the gardens to see on this article. Versailles is crazy big. I didn't realize how big it was until we were there.
And this is in France?
This is in France, yeah. So Versailles is this like extravagant, like 2,000-acre palace with garden. It was Louis the 15th? Question mark?
Yeah, question mark on that with me as well.
It was Louis. Louis lived there, and let me tell you, it was amazing to walk through. And we were actually walking through the gardens while the Summer Olympics was still going on. And they actually had an event across the pond that is on the palace grounds. And we didn't, I don't know if it was actually on the grounds, it might have been, but you were able to see the full stands. And we were like, what's going on? And we like pulled it up and we were like, oh, that's cool.
That's a cool little find.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but you can literally spend like probably the full day if you went into the museums that were on the ground. But just walking through the gardens is amazing. And you can rent, because of how big it is, you can rent, what are those things called?
A golf cart?
Yeah, you can rent
a golf cart to run around the palace.
Yeah, you can rent a golf cart to run around the palace gardens because of how big it is. We kept getting lost. We were looking at a map and we thought we were making the right turns. We kept ending up in this one like specific like pool promenade, and we were like, how do we keep doing this?
What a cool experience.
Yeah, it is something so interesting. So if you are, you know, planning to go to Paris, maybe if you have the extra day, go to Versailles. We were there for half of the day. We just took a train from Paris to Versailles. We skipped the museum. No, it's like an hour and a half.
Okay.
It's not far at all. It was great to get out of Paris itself, but maybe you want to do that. And if that isn't your cup of tea, if you are into art, Claude Monet, you have Giverny, France, and you have Monet's Gardens, which is supposed to be his like landscape inspiration, what he loves. And it's now managed by his specific foundation. And so the manor is still up and running. You can visit. I think they love when artists come. And I think they even have potentially people like there painting constantly, which I mean, might as well embrace what he was seeing and, you know, repaint your vision of everything. But I wanted to go so bad, but we ended up going to Versailles, which maybe I'll go again. And go to Giverny and go to Monet's garden, because it is so beautiful with the pond, with the water lilies, with a bunch of flowers around. But if you're not going to France, there's so many other places, like in Italy itself. We talked about last week a town called Tivoli.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
There's actually one of the gardens on this list is in Tivoli. It's one of the villas. And this is supposed to be a beautiful Renaissance garden. And it is behind a palace. So just imagine another extravagant palace having some extravagant gardens. And it is actually a hillside terrace. So I can only imagine, you know, some beautiful archways, extravagant fountains with a bunch of beautiful flowers. And maybe if you're trying to flex on people with their social media, this is also great places to visit. Get some photo opportunities.
Look at me. Look where I'm at.
Look at me. I'm traveling. I'm living my best life. But I mean, there's so many places that you can be visiting. And like I said, if you're going to Germany, if you're going to France, if you're going to London, there are so many options that you can be adding to your itinerary and maybe get off like the normal beaten path and do something else while you're doing some other touristy stuff.
I think it's always a good time to win. So when I go out and explore, it's always fine to those little side quests, go mm-hmm. see something new that's kind of unique to that little area. Oh, when I was in Terramina, actually, the other day, I realized they had a little garden by the Greek amphitheater that
was
cool to
see. Yes, they do. And a lot of people love that botanical gardens, which, understandable, it is beautiful. And I love that there's so many different botanical gardens in this island itself that are free. And they're just completely taken care of through the commune of that area, which, beautiful. It's always so nice. And it's like forest bathing, going back to it.
Yeah, go sit under the trees.
Yeah, go sit under the tree,
air.
Enjoy the fresh air, enjoy the flowers.
It's just good for you.
It is good for you. And so if you ever want some more inspiration, check it out on stripeseurope.com.
Here is Week by AJR. No. If you didn't know, April is Month of the Military Child, and Stars and Stripes is hosting a contest for military-connected children.
Yeah, so we started, I don't know when we started this, but we've always been doing it, and it is something I think is so fun, because it doesn't honestly require any money to be put in, which is great, because whoever wins the DODIA school or group, because it is open homeschooling, that group wins $500.
Free cost, win $500.
Exactly.
That's a win.
I know PTA is always raising money. A free $500 just from participating in this easy campaign. I don't know why we don't participate, because last year's numbers weren't doing so hot compared to some other schools in Europe, which I'm a little sad about. But, you know, it is just an easy contest. It's just some, if you know, your kid can honestly decide whatever they want to submit. If it is some stories of their PCSing, even if they have military related poems, even drawings or photos that reflect their experience as a military child, we accept it. And it is open from like elementary through high school. And it, like I said, it's completely free. You just have to submit it through email to momceurope@stripes.com by the end of April. And depending on how much participation in that specific school, so we try to make it fair. So we do it based off of admissions number and then participation. And that's how we get the percentage. So regardless of how big the school is, it is still based off of how many people actually participated, which I feel like, you know, makes it much more equal.
I agree. And of course, is there only one winner?
Only one winner in all of Europe. And I think last year was a elementary school in... Oh, I don't want to be wrong. It was an elementary school in Germany for sure. I don't remember which elementary school it was, but they had, which... was wild to me. It was almost like 100%. I think it was like in the 90s.
Participation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
The teachers gave that mandatory
assignment. I know. I was
You're
like,
all gonna
oh
get
my
F's
God.
If you don't do this.
I was like, how did you do that? I was giving kudos to them because that was just shocking. And it was my first MOMC campaign for everyone. So I honestly just encourage, even if we can get, you know, just a couple. I just want to see a couple of submissions from Sigonella itself, whether it be Sigonella Elementary, Middle High, or even some of the Sig homeschool associated people. Please submit and like let us get some love, even if it's not for $500, which $500 is pretty nice.
It is, and it's time to take that title back to Sigonella.
Exactly. So please, if you want to learn some more about it, just search up Military Child at Stripes Europe, and it's also on our Facebook page, Stars and Stripes Europe. And it's free. We're starting it already now, technically, but it is for the month of April, aka Month of the Military Child. So come out and, you know, get your kid to embrace their creativity and get some free money for the school.
I certainly endorse it here, and you should as well. Make sure you try and get your kid to win that $500. That'd be a cool prize and a nice flex along the way. And Anna, this is all we have time for, and I just want to say thank you so much for coming into the studio today. We always love it when Stars and Stripes is able to come out and put this amazing information and opportunities available for all those listeners out there and everyone who wants to experience Europe while here in Sigonella. You're listening to 105.9 AFN Sigonella, the station serving you America's best.